one constant through all the years, Ray. Baseball.
It's time to put on those oven mitts, because it's time to bring the heat with Christian Brown.
And welcome back to Bringing the Heat. I'm your host, Christian Rao, and we have another great episode for you today. 30 teams in 30 days continues here on Bringing the Heat, and we're going to talk about the mighty Texas Rangers. And with us today, we have Ben Dieter. Ben is the host of the Rangers Report podcast. You can find him at therangersreport.com and on Twitter at therangersreport. Hey, Ben, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Christian. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to having this conversation, talking about the season expectations of the Texas Rangers. Ben, you're also a member with me of the IBWAA, so it's always a pleasure to work with somebody in the same association as me. But man, let's get started. Let's talk about these Texas Rangers. Last season, there was a lot of expectations with that pitching staff in general, and it didn't really fall into place last year. Guys wound up really just being at the bottom of the pile and for the most in the American League. Not at the complete bottom, but you were pretty down there. And 2020 just was not in your favor for the Rangers. Although that new stadium is gorgeous, I'd like to hear your thoughts on the 2020 Texas Rangers.
Yeah, well, for the 2020 Texas Rangers, you had Mike Minor and Lance Lynn at the top of the order. Mike Minor, everyone thought, would be opening day starter. They made Lance Lynn, and of course, Lynn had a fantastic season for the Rangers. Very surprised that they didn't move him during the season, but of course, we'll get into that later. But Mike Minor did not have that great of a season. And then, of course, after that, with injury and everything else, that rotation just kind of fell apart. And then the fact that the Rangers had, there was no minor leagues in 2020, kind of hurt every franchise. So the Rangers couldn't really have these guys ready to go in the minors to come up. They had the Nashville Sounds, the Frisco Rough Riders. None of those were playing ball. So they had to go with that alternate training site, hope guys would work out. And it just kind of fell apart. Their superstar, Joey Gallo, got injured. Willie Calhoun didn't play up to the level they thought that he was going to play. Then, of course, you had Elvis Andrews, who got injured and did not play well at all. And then you had at third base, they were expecting it to be Todd Frazier, but over at first base, Ronald Guzman couldn't hold it down, so Frazier wound up moving to first. Then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa wound up being the third baseman, and it just sort of went downhill from there. Yeah, I think they had the second worst record in the American League, and it was, believe it or not, the Rangers is always pitching. And in 2020, it was hitting. They could not hit their way out of a paper bag in 2020.
Well, speaking of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, IKF, he had a fun season last year. For as much of a disappointment the Rangers were, IKF was pretty exciting. I know there were some times when it came to the DraftKings, I always tried to get him in my lineup if I could. And there was a reason behind that. He was a value pick because he was always giving some pretty decent games. But in it, you know, a place experience itself, like how they were playing, he played fantastic. With that being said, I'd like to segue and ask you, who was your biggest surprise for the Texas Rangers in 2020?
And I think you just brought him up. It would have to be Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He won the Gold Glove at third base. He's not even a third baseman by trait. And, of course, he played catcher for the Rangers. He played second base for the Rangers. He played a little outfield for the Rangers. He has played just about everything, but he's naturally a shortstop. So to win a Gold Glove at a position that you're not even really comfortable playing is pretty amazing. And then at the plate, he was probably their most consistent hitter of 2020. Like you said, if you any kind of gambling with DraftKings, things like that, he was pretty much a lock, pretty much a great pick. Day in and day out, always got his job done, always got a couple of hits, drove in runs, you know, and then played a fantastic third base. So to me, he was a super surprise the way that he played third base in 2020.
All right, you cannot pick Corey Kluber in his one inning, but I want to know who is your biggest disappointment for 2020?
What are you talking about? He had an ERA of zero, man.
I mean, that's true. He did.
No, my biggest disappointment in 2020 was probably Elvis Andrews, and I know injury played into it, but as the team leader, he hit like 160 something, I believe, even when he was in, never got it together, never looked like he was ready to go, never looked like he could cope with the whole 60-game season thing, in my opinion. Looked like he just struggled from day one. Even when he was healthy at the beginning, he did not look like himself, wasn't playing well. So I think the fact that he had such a bad year kind of made the Rangers spiral a little bit.
All right, let's move on to 2021. We're just chugging along here on this episode of Bringing the Heat. It's a quick roll through with Ben Dieter here at the Ranger Report. But let's move on to 2021 because I'm sure you Ranger fans want to forget about 2020. Although, hey, that stadium is really nice. And we got to see playoff baseball in that stadium. It just wasn't with the Texas Rangers, unfortunately. But with that being said, that stadium is really nice. But 2021, hopefully, will be better for these Rangers in that stadium. Hopefully, we'll see 162. That rotation just looks a whole bunch different. No Lance Lynn, no Corey Kluber, no Mike Minor. We got guys like Kyle Gibson and Colby Allard, Dane Dunning coming over from that Lance Lynn trade. You got Mike Fulton-Nevich coming in and being maybe part of that rotation, who was DFA'd by Atlanta last season. And then maybe some other pieces. Your thoughts about this rotation, and what's it going to look like compared to last season?
Well, first of all, everybody knows the Rangers are definitely in full rebuilding mode. They have a new general manager and former major leaguer Chris Young, who's taken over the duties of the general manager's office for the Rangers. And yeah, the Rangers have always been low risk, high reward kind of guys with pitchers. They've got a lot of guys recovering from Tommy John, things like that usually. And I think that's what Mike Fulton-Nevich is going to be. He pitched really bad in 2020. He had injury, he had other things, but just so bad that, like you said, the Braves let him go. His velocity was way down. Well, so far in spring training in 2020, his velocity is up. He's looking more like the Mike Fulton-Nevich that was an all-star back in 2018. So the thing is, here I think another problem I have with the Rangers rotation, I know it's rebuilding, but I like Kyle Gibson, but he's a number three starter, maybe a number four starter on most other teams. He's not your ace. And yeah, he'll probably give you some innings. He'll probably give you, you know, he'll eat up some innings. He'll give you some wins, but you know, he's not the kind of guy that you really want anchoring your rotation, but that's what the Rangers have. So hopefully he's a great guy. So hopefully he'll get that job done. But to me, the rotation, Gibson is guaranteed. And then you have Kohei Arihara, who came over from Japan. And I think one of the reasons the Rangers really wanted to bring Arihara over is he pitched more innings than any major league pitcher last year because their season was longer. So I think the Rangers have a guy who can really eat up innings in Arihara. I think he hasn't done so great in spring training, but he's getting used to the major league baseball. I don't think the Rangers are considerably worried about the fact that he's struggling a little bit in spring training. And then I think Fulton-Nevich is going to win that third spot. He's been pitching really well, and he's a guy they brought in, I think, is veteran experience to kind of help those younger guys along. If he goes back to what he was before, he's going to be a tremendous pickup for the Rangers and may wind up moving up in that rotation if he can pitch anywhere like he did in 2018. And then you've got Dane Dunning, I think, is going to be your fourth starter. Came over in Chicago, the Lance Lynn trade. The Rangers, of course, traded Lance Lynn off to the White Sox and got Dunning in return. He is going to be really good if he's what they say they are. If you look at his minors and look at how he pitched for Chicago last year, did a great job, and he's looked okay so far in spring training. So I think he's going to be your fourth starter. Fifth starter is going to be difficult. You've got Kyle Cody. You've got Colby Allard. You've got Wes Benjamin. You've got all these other people that are sort of vying for that fifth spot. So far, Taylor Hearn, who pitched today in the Rangers spring training game, has gone now, I think it's five innings without giving up, with giving up one run, I believe. And then Wes Benjamin has not given up a run yet. So these guys are really fighting for that fifth rotation spot. And I think, in my opinion, you're going to see all of these guys at some point rotate through the Rangers this year because of the rebuilding mode that they're in.
Any of these guys in the rotation have the ability or the potential to be an ace in the making?
I think that Dane Dunning does. If you look at how highly Chicago really valued him, and then you look at, you know, how he's pitched so well in the majors. I mean, when he was with Chicago last year, it wasn't fantastic, but he's pretty good for his first experience being in 2020, especially, which was such a weird year. But I think Dunning may have that opportunity. And then I think also Taylor Hearn, who has really worked hard at it. Taylor Hearn is a really likable guy. He's someone that Rangers fans really know and really like. And he's got the stuff, but he's just got to get it together.
All right, let's talk about this bullpen. And when you look at the depth chart of this bullpen, if you don't really follow the Rangers and you maybe just follow Fairweather Baseball, there might not be a single name in this bullpen that you know. I mean, if we're being completely honest, maybe Jordan Lyles. Maybe that might be the guy you think of if you just look at a name. So with that being said, this bullpen is fairly new. We're already talking about this rebuild that the Texas Rangers is having. Your thoughts about this bullpen. Give us some names to worry about. Tell us who your closer is. Let the viewer, the listeners know. Let the listeners know what this bullpen is all about.
Well, actually, the bullpen will probably be a strength for the Rangers this year, in my opinion. They do have, they're not well known, but they are some good arms. The Rangers have, in trades and in drafts over the last few years, built up a pretty decent minor league system after, of course, 2010, 11, 12, up through about 2017. They traded a lot of their good prospects off to try to win. And, of course, we all know 10 and 11, they went to the World Series, but lost both of those World Series, one to the Giants, one to the Cardinals. But closer, Ian Kennedy, he's a name you might have heard of, although he's not, he's a non-roster invitee, but he has a chance to take over that closer job if he pitches well enough. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Rangers want Jose Leclerc to be their closer. Jose Leclerc was a great closer in 2019 and then missed all of 2020, kind of like Corey Kluber. He pitched one inning and then missed the rest of the season with an injury. So I think they want him to be their closer, but I think Ian Kennedy is going to give him a run for his money. Jonathan Hernandez was a fantastic reliever in 19 and 20, and then he hurt himself actually just the other day in spring training, elbow. They're hoping no Tommy John surgery right now. It looks like he doesn't need it, but they're going to reevaluate him later. That's a big hit to that bullpen because he was like your lockdown eighth inning guy. He was just amazing 2019 and 2020. Then you've got Brett Martin, who's pitched for the Rangers before, is a really good left-handed reliever. They don't have a whole lot of left-handed guys as part of their problem right now. Then you've got DeMarcus Evans, another guy who's probably not going to be ready for the start of the season because of an injury that he had last year. You've got Jolly Rodriguez is another left-handed reliever who I think is really good. Josh Boers is another guy who might make the team. And then people forget they also got a guy from Korea, Hyung-Jung Yang, who really came over because of Shin-Soo Choo talked him into kind of playing in America, even though now Choo is playing over in Korea. But Yang was a good starter. Again, a guy that can give you innings. You're looking at him being probably a long reliever. He's a left-hander. And then, like you said, Jordan Lyles. And there is still a small chance Lyles could sneak his way back into the rotation, but I don't think it's going to happen. So there's a lot of guys to choose from in that bullpen. But, and like you said, mostly people have heard of Ian Kennedy. People have heard of Jordan Lyles. And that's probably it in this bullpen that anyone's ever heard of before. But, you know, just looking at the numbers, looking at what these guys have done in the minors, looking at what some of them did last year with the Rangers, this could be a pretty good bullpen.
Moving on to this infield, and this infield has been quite interesting. You got a couple pickups in the offseason, one because of a trade, a couple signings as well. But that catcher position, Jose Trevino, he might be holding it down. I'm going to hear your thoughts in a minute about what you think about the catching position. But first base, Nate Lowe coming over from Tampa Bay. Obviously, we talked about earlier Ronald Guzman, how he really wasn't doing a great job at the first base position. Nick Solak kind of moved himself into the second base position last year, although he used to be an outfielder. There might be that movement back and forth, but it looks like he solidified himself at that second base with Odor as well. But Odor might be playing at the third baseline this year, but there is a great addition, in my opinion. I think he's a very good utility guy, and Charlie Culbertson, who used to play for Atlanta for a few years, he's a great utility guy. I think that's a really good pickup, in my opinion. And then you got a guy who went back and forth and was DFA'd a few times, played on a few teams in a very short season of 2020, and that's Brock Holt. I think he played for Milwaukee and Washington, if I remember. And then, obviously, how can we forget about the Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who on the depth chart they have him playing short, but we just talked about earlier how he won a Golden Glove at third base. So your thoughts about this entire infield, what am I missing? What's going wrong?
All right, so Trevino probably will be the starting catcher on day one, but Jonah Heim, who they got from, I believe, Tampa Bay as well. It could be from Oakland. No, he got from Oakland. I'm sorry. Jonah Heim came over from Oakland, and he is giving Trevino a run for his money and will probably be, I think they're probably going to split time if I had to guess, that Trevino will get just slightly more, but I think Heim is going to get a lot of time behind the plate. They have veteran Drew Proterra in camp, but I don't think he's going to make the team because the Rangers aren't going to carry three catchers, because they also have Sam Huff, who's a really big prospect, who's going to start in Round Rock this year. At first base, Ronald Guzman was actually the He played in the Dominican League this winter, and he was the Dominican League MVP because his offense was so good. His defense has always been fantastic. He's one of those guys that can go down into the full splits to catch a ball, which always, you know, causes me a lot of pain to watch, but it's pretty cool when someone else can do it. But I would get carried off to the hospital if I tried that. But yeah, he did great. So he's kind of given Lowe a little more challenge than they thought, but Guzman has been practicing and now playing some spring training games in right field to try to prove he's versatile enough to stay on this team if Lowe wins that job. And Lowe's a little younger, has a little more pop at the plate, and right now looks like he's probably going to win that job. He bats left, and Guzman bats left as well. Lowe's right-handed, but he bats from the left-hand side. And then second base, Nick Solak has won that job. He is going to be the Rangers' everyday second baseman going forward. And if you've kept up with the Rangers at all, Rougned Odor is a very sensitive subject. He has basically hit around 200 or lower for three straight seasons. But other than 2020, he was hitting 30, 35 home runs. He led the team in home runs and RBIs in 2019, even though he batted like 198. So Rangers fans are tired of waiting on him. And so Nick Solak is now the everyday second baseman. Third base is Rougned Odor, who we just talked about, is supposed to be the starter. But I wouldn't sleep on the guy you mentioned, Charlie Culberson, and Brock Holt as well. But Charlie Culberson has been playing great in spring training, and he's a guy with a lot of experience and could be a really good utility guy if he gets on this team. He can play some third, he can play some short, he can play some second. Just a very good all-around player. And then Brock Holt as well has a chance to make this team as a utility player as well. And then, yes, they have moved Isaiah Kiner-Falefa to shortstop, traded Elvis Andrus to the Oakland Athletics to make room for that. Even though he won a gold glove at third base, they have moved him to shortstop because that's his true position. That's what he's always wanted to play. And they think it's going to be a great move for him. They've got Anderson Tejeda backing him up. But again, he'll start probably in double A since he has barely any time above single A right now. So that's what the infield kind of is going to look like for the Texas Rangers.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of fun with this infield. I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, although that there might not be the biggest expectations of this team, which I'm going to hear about your expectations in just a moment, but there's going to be a lot of fun with this. I'm actually really excited to see if Isaiah Kiner-Falefa can win a gold glove at third last year and maybe win it short this year. How interesting would that be? And with Odor, yeah, I've heard that a few times about him, you know, people waiting on him. And it looks like that the front office is finally starting to move forward. Nick Solak is a pretty interesting guy, pretty fun, entertaining player that has a lot of potential. But there's been more additions than just the infield. There's actually been a pretty decent amount in the outfield. And if you look at it, a couple of these, probably three of these, could be DHs on this team. And I'm sure we'll probably see them all being DHs at one point in 162. But you made a trade to the Oakland Athletics, as you stated before. Chris Davis comes on over. Chris Davis can hit rockets. He can hit moonshots if he gets in a good enough streak to do it. But he's been in some pretty bad slumps the last few years. So hopefully a change of scenery is really good for him. You also get a guy who is used to a pretty ballpark-friendly, a batter-friendly ballpark in Coors Field. David Dahl coming over from Colorado. Both of them in the outfield. Obviously, you got Joey Gallo, who absolutely just hits the leather off the baseball. He is absolutely insane. I would not be surprised if he led the league in home runs in any season. And then we talked about Willie Calhoun as well. Your thoughts about this outfield moving forward? And what other surprises might be seen?
Yeah, the outfield is going to be interesting this year. They did bring Chris Davis over, I think, to mostly play designated hitter. You mentioned that he has not hit well for a couple seasons, but the one team he has hit well against is the Texas Rangers. He's lit up the Texas Rangers as an Oakland Athletic over the last few years, and maybe the Rangers are hoping that magic will come over with him and he can hit well as a Texas Ranger in their ballpark, because he has tagged them for so many home runs. I think he's batting like 385 against the Rangers over the last three seasons, something in ridiculous like that. I think he is going to be your DH most of the time with some outfield play. I think he'll probably be a fill-in for Joey Gallo when he gets a day off, things like that. But I think, Your starting center fielder is going to be David Dahl. That's starting left fielder. Your starting center fielder is going to be Leody Taveras, who is very young, but really impressed the Rangers last year in the outfield. He is super fast, got a strong arm, going to do a really good job out there. He needs to work on his plate discipline because he does swing at a lot of bad pitches, something that a lot of young guys do and that they're going to have to work on with him to make sure that he gets a little more patient at the plate. But he's 21. It's hard to ask a 21-year-old to be patient at the plate, but he does need to learn how to do that. And then, of course, in right field, Joey Gallo, like you said, the ball masher. In six games in spring training so far, he's hit 5 home runs. I mean, like you said, if he leads the league any year, I wouldn't be surprised. If he stays healthy, I think he could lead the league easily in home runs. He mashes the ball, but people forget he also won a Gold Glove last year in right field. So he's also a good defender as well as just, you know, a guy who can mash it at the plate. Now, he does have also the strikeout thing that most guys who hit home runs have, but I think you're going to see Dahl, Taveras, and Gallo as your three everyday outfielders. Then Calhoun and Davis will both play a little bit of left field. Davis will also play a little bit of right field, I believe. And then at designated hitter, it ought to be interesting. I think Calhoun, Davis, Dahl, and Gallo are all going to fill up that spot and rotate around in the outfield as well.
Well, out of those four, the only righty in that lineup is Chris Davis, so maybe we'll see more at-bats at DH with him because of the splits. That might be an interesting thing. Texas has always been very left-handed heavy
the
last few years, that's for sure. So adding another righty to that lineup probably won't hurt. So we just went through this entire lineup, Ben, and as we said, I'm speaking to Ben Dieter here, the host of the Rangers Report podcast. You can find him at rangersreport.com here at Bringing the Heat podcast on a beautiful day, talking the MLB 30 teams in 30 days. Continue that on as we get forward and ready for opening day, April 1st. Cannot wait, Ben. I'm sure you're excited.
Very.
But with that being said, 2021 is only a few weeks away for opening day. And I'd love to know your expectations of this team. Obviously, we sat towards the bottom, of the American League as the Rangers transition away and traded away teams or players at the trade deadline. Obviously, that did not change in the offseason, but there were some additions as well. So there's some excitement surrounding this Rangers team, whether you like to say it or not. But I'd like to hear your expectations.
Well, a lot of people have them losing 100 games, and I don't buy it. I think they're a little bit better than that, and you mentioned I think some of the additions are what did that. I think you're looking at a team that is going to struggle at times because of their age and also because of their inexperience. I think you're looking at a team that is going to give up 15 runs here and there in a game just because the starter falls apart and then the bullpen has a bad day. But you're also looking at a team that's going to be able to dominate occasionally and surprise people. So I think you're looking obviously at a middle of the road team. I don't think they're going to be dead last in the American League. I don't think they're going to, you know, completely fall apart. Last year they weren't good in that short season, but if you have a healthy Joey Gallo, you know, if you have the pitching staff remaining healthy, if you have Dahl recovering and being a better player than he was in 2020, if you have Chris Davis playing a little bit better than he did in 2020, you know, if you've got Charlie Culberson making this team and tearing it up, you know, if you got Mike Foltynewicz doing really well, you've got a team that could wind up being better than people expect. I expect them obviously not to win the American League West. I expect them to be low middle, you know, probably I don't expect them to be last, but I think they'll be down there. I expect them to be a lot of fun to watch because if you're into prospects and into watching a team develop, this is the year to watch the Rangers because you're going to see a lot of these players getting called up and down between the minors and the majors, a lot of them coming up to play a little bit, get a little bit of majors time. And I think if you like watching that, you're going to have a lot of fun watching the Texas Rangers in 2021. So I look for them to be entertaining on the field, although maybe not the winningest team on the field.
Well, you just brought up saying that you don't think that they're going to be last in the AL West. And I find that a little interesting only because I'm looking at the win-loss totals from DraftKings, DK Nation, the MLB win totals. And they do have the Texas Rangers last in the AL West. They have them at 66.5 games. They have them
what is it, 6 games behind the Seattle Mariners. So, with that being said, Ben, I'd like to know, 66.5, is that too high or too low?
I'm going to say that's a little too low in my opinion. I think they scrape 60. I'd give them 69 to 70 wins would be my guess. And I think Seattle is actually going to be a little worse than that. That's why I think the Rangers are going to be able to just barely top Seattle. I think that's why they're not going to wind up last. Everyone else will finish above them, but Seattle I don't think will. But yeah, I say about 3 or 4 more wins than what DraftKings have them.
I like the transparency with that expectations, and you heard it here first at the Bringing the Heat podcast. The guy from the Rangers Report podcast is saying the Texas Rangers will be over on 66.5 games, according to the win-loss totals in the sports book. Hey, Ben, I got to know before I let you go, one last thing I've been asking everybody here on 30 Teams in 30 Days. It's got pretty interesting, so I want to hear your take. What is one bold prediction you got for the Texas Rangers? It's maybe something that people aren't paying attention to that you want to throw on the radar. Maybe we can bring back up around the trade deadline and see how it's going. I want one bold prediction for you, Ben, for this Rangers team.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that one since you told me you were going to ask me that one. That is a fun one to think about. Of course, the easy one to say is Joey Gallo, but I don't think that's bold because everyone thinks he's going to be great. So I'm not going to go with that one. I am going to say bold prediction is going to be that Mike Foltynewicz is going to be, I'm not going to say a Cy Young candidate, but I'm going to say he's going to have a sub 3.5 ERA, and he's going to have probably, I'm going to say he's going to be second or third in wins in the American League. I think he's going to tear it up this year, and I think people are going to be shocked at how well he plays. I think he's going to be a complete steal for the Texas Rangers. I think Foltynewicz is going to come in there, and he is just going to surprise everybody in the league. They're not going to see him coming.
Wow. That is super bold. I mean, if you would have said Cy Young, I might have got a little nervous wondering who I had on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
no,
I'll
no,
tell
no.
you what. Hey, what you said right there, that's super bold. A guy from coming, being DFA'd, to moving to being second or third in wins and a 3.5 or lower ERA. I like that. I really like that. Hopefully we can talk about that around the trade deadline again. We bring back up some of these bold predictions to see where they sit. But I like that one a lot. Hey, Ben, thank you so much for joining me here on this 30 Teams in 30 Days podcast. Let the listeners know where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yes, sir. We are at The Ranger Report on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as well. We have a series, if you're a Rangers fan at all, we have a series going on right now, a March Madness-style bracket for the greatest Ranger of all time. We're actually down to the Elite Eight right now. We have 8 players left. So if you go to my website and click on the pages, there's a page for it. You can see the articles and the polls you can vote in for those people. So far, like I said, we're about to be down to the final 4, which is going to be difficult, and then the final 2. And it's someone the fans have to pick who the greatest Ranger of all time is. We're also doing our predictions sure to be wrong, what I call them. And that's sort of what I did here with my bold prediction with you. But we're doing articles talking about who we think is going to be your starting day Texas Rangers. That's going on. And then, of course, the podcast, we're bringing in some players and some coaches and lots of media people to get ready for the season. So all that's going on. And you can always reach us at The Ranger Report on Twitter is the easiest way to get a hold of us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ben. Can't wait to hear more of your stuff on your podcast and see more of your articles and your content on your website. If you guys are not following these guys or not have this website in your favorites bar, do so right now if you're a baseball fan at all. Don't even have to be a Rangers fan if you want to continue to watch and listen and read good baseball content. Rangers Report is where to go. Ben, thank you so much for joining me. Hope to have you on again soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
And that'll do it for this episode of Bringing the Heat. Thank you so much once again to Ben Dieter from the Rangers Report podcast. That was a blast, Ben. Be sure to tune back in here tomorrow as we continue 30 Teams in 30 Days here on Bringing the Heat podcast. Until then, see you tomorrow. Take care.